Presenting The Bennetts, 1946. This saga of a modern American family is neither an expose of youth's foibles nor an accusation against the older generation. It is merely a cross-section of the life of one family. Controversial subjects are dealt with from each individual character's point of view and have no further purpose than to explain certain given types of personalities which exist in American society today. The Bennetts, 1946, written and produced under the direction of Carlton E. Morse, presents a star-studded cast of stage, motion picture, and radio personalities. Dean Jagger, star of Brigham Young and Western Union, and now co-starring with Rosalind Russell in Sister Kenny, Mr. Jagger is cast as George Bennett, Northwest lumber tycoon and father of the Bennetts. What goes with the lumber business in Seattle, Mr. Bennett?
Reconversion, strikes, employment. Yes, I'm afraid you'll find the lumber business facing the same pangs of rebirth that all industries facing these days.
No doubt of it. Next, Anne Revere, star of Broadway's The Children's Hour, featured in Song of Bernadette, and now to be nominated for the Motion Picture Academy Award for performance in National Velvet. Miss Revere is cast as Ellen Bennett, wife of George Bennett, and mother of the five Bennett offspring. Mrs. Bennett, isn't five an exceptional family of children these days?
Yes, I suppose it is. But from my eldest John down to my adolescent son, Roger, I've enjoyed my children beyond all the other blessings showered upon me. I'm afraid you see in me a happy woman.
It's a pleasant sight to see, Mrs. Bennett. Next, William Holden, Paramount star of Golden Boy and Arizona, and just recently returned from 4 years in the Army Air Force. Mr. Holden is cast as John, eldest son of the Bennett menage. John, you're likewise a return flyer in this radio role, right?
Yes, that's right. Shot down over the English Channel, to tell the truth. I was quite a specimen when they pulled me out.
I see you still walk with a cane.
Probably always will.
Well, there's John, 28. Next, Nan Gray, Universal motion picture star and featured for 7 years on the radio program Those We Love. Miss Gray will play the role of Judith, eldest daughter of the family and just now a very, very bitter and unhappy young woman. Is that right, Judith?
Well, that's quite personal.
I'm sorry.
But it's enough to drive anyone into a mood. 26 and not a prospect. And here's my little sister Eve, 19 and getting more men than any girl deserves.
The right man will come along.
Well, then why doesn't he?
And that's Judith's problem. Next, Mary Anderson, 20th Century Fox starlet and star of the New York stage play Guest in the House. Miss Anderson is cast as Eve, twin sister of Eden, and like him, full of the exuberance, the yeasty ferment, and defiance of the very modern generation. You play a little dangerously, don't you?
Sure. Close to the edge.
What does your father think of that?
What Dad doesn't know doesn't hurt him.
What does your mother say?
Oh, she gasps once in a while. But Mom's all right. You can tell her things.
Uh-huh. And next in line is Jack Edwards, Jr., picture and radio juvenile. Mr. Edwards plays Eden, twin brother of Eve, and full of the same devil-may-care lightheartedness as his sister. You and Eve are going to get yourselves into trouble one of these days. You know that, Eden.
Yeah?
You don't believe it?
So what? So we get into trouble. There's always a way out, isn't there?
But do you know it?
What, the way out? I wouldn't spend much time worrying about it if I were you.
No. A wise guy heading for a fall. And at the bottom of the Bennett clan is Roger, better known as Roddy, played by Tommy Cook, motion picture and radio adolescent. How's the family treating you these days, Roddy?
Oh, it's okay. Say, Mr. Martin, what do you think about atomic energy?
I think it's probably here to stay.
No, I don't mean that. How about a guy studying to become an atomic engineer?
Never heard of it.
Well, that's me. First atomic engineer in creation.
And there you are, the Bennetts, 1946. In the family home of the Bennetts on Bainbridge Island in Puget Sound, only a short ferry boat ride from Seattle, Eden is just coming down the wide staircase, brushed and shined and all dressed up in a dinner jacket.
Oh, hi, everybody. Hey, Dad, is it okay if I use the coupe tonight?
What? Where are you going at this time of night, Eden?
Oh, just around.
Confound it, Eden, it's bedtime. We're about to listen to the 10 o'clock news and turn in.
Now, George, can't you see that
you're... Sure, I'm not going to be out late, Mom. I'm just sort of going to wander around a little, that's all.
What is it? Another party?
Oh, no. I might go for a little ride with somebody for an hour or so.
Those are your riding clothes, are they, Eden?
Well, you never know. We might drop in somewhere. And people are dressing again now, you know. So how about it, Dad? The cook? Is that all right?
Is Eve going with you?
No.
Ellen, where is Eve?
I don't know, George. Probably in a room.
Hey, look, Dad, Eve and I are past the age where we have to be together all the time just because we're twins. She's got her affairs.
Well, where is she?
Sulking.
What's that, Judith?
I say I think you'll find her sulking about something in her room. Eden and Eve have had a quarrel this evening.
You're a big help, Judith.
And I'll bet it's about your date tonight.
Judith, why don't you marry somebody, huh? Just anybody will do. Why don't you snag some unsuspecting old guy from Alaska and move
Eden.
Up there? Yes, sir?
If you're going to stand around here quarreling with Judith, you'll miss your engagement. Let him go, George. You'll be home at a decent hour, won't you, son?
Yeah, I promise. Okay, Dad?
Thanks.
Right. I'll even put some gas in the car.
Good night, Mom.
Now, if you're going over to Seattle, don't miss that last ferry home.
Yeah. Well, pleasant dreams, Dad. And a couple of nightmares for you, Judith.
Eden.
Oh, hiya, Eve. Hey, what are you doing out here in the hall?
You're going to see that Mrs. Martin tonight.
Well, she's a widow, isn't she? Who's going to care? Anyhow, she's a nice girl, Eve.
Eden, is she? She's years older than you are.
You know something? You're beginning to sound almost like Judith. Cora Martin's only 24. You'll be 24 someday yourself. You expect people to stop speaking to you?
Eden Bennett, you know perfectly well what I mean.
Listen, Eve. Now listen to me. Everybody's got Coral Martin all wrong. She's pretty and dainty and she's... Well, she's lonely.
Lonely.
Well, anyhow, this is different.
Why? Why is it different?
Well, everything before was all kid stuff.
All right, Eden. Good night.
Night. Oh, and Eve.
Yes?
You won't say anything, will you? Judith's trying to stir something up in there.
Why should I say anything? It isn't any of my affair.
Okay. Good night.
Huh. You'll be sorry.
Eve, where have you been all evening, darling?
Hiya, Mom. I've been up in my room, mostly.
Judith was saying that you and Eden have had some trouble.
Great old girl, Judith. Always tying up the loose ends. Hiya, deep freeze.
Eve.
Eve, that's no way to speak to your sister.
You're right, Dad. I'll cut it out altogether. Oh, gosh. Something's made me very tired. I guess I'll go to bed. Anybody mind?
Anything wrong, Eve?
Now, that cloud in the sky, Dad. Good night.
It's a relief to see you going to bed at a decent hour, Eve.
I'm surprised myself. Good night, Mom.
Good night, dear. Like me to come to your room?
No. Everything's all right. Night. Night, Judith.
I don't know what we're going to do with the twins, Ellen.
It'll stick.
And what about John? Anybody heard from him?
No, Judith.
Gone 2 days. Not a word.
That boy's up to no good, Ellen. I feel it.
I believe in John, my dear.
There's an Eden going out at this time of night. I'm going to have a talk with that boy.
About what, George?
Well, about life.
I see.
You any objections?
No, I think you should have done it years ago. You're playing golf with him tomorrow afternoon, aren't you?
Yes.
I should think that would give you a perfect opportunity. What is it, Judith?
Life.
Don't be bitter, Judith.
Yes, sir. That boy needs a little elemental instruction. I'll do it tomorrow.
Oh, forget it. Come on, let's go to bed.
Yes? Who is it?
Mother, it's John.
John.
May I come in?
Yes, of course.
Feel chatty, Mother?
Just a moment, John. I'll turn on the light. John, you've been hurt.
Oh, it's nothing to get excited about. I'm all right.
Well, then what is it?
Oh, I accidentally shot myself in the arm.
Shot yourself? John, you did nothing of the kind. Did the doctor treat it?
I shot myself in the arm, Mother. It's all right.
All right. What is it you want me to do?
Mind if I sit down here on the bed?
Please do.
How'd you like a little cigarette smoke mixed with this nice, clean night air?
Go ahead. When did you get back?
3 minutes ago. I thought you might like to have a little talk with your eldest. Remember what you used to say to me? Come and talk to me, Johnny. Any old time.
You've been gone 2 whole days, John.
So I have. Place went along all right without me?
Where have you been?
Well, meddling in other people's affairs.
I hope you weren't doing anything wrong.
You want me to look you square in the eye? The way you used to make me do?
Oh, John. You're 28 years old. Why in the world don't you find yourself some nice girl and settle down?
That's a great idea. Where'd you get it? From Dad? Did you ever notice when Dad's baffled, he wants to marry people off, as if marriage and tranquility were synonymous? Oh, by the way, what'd he say?
Well, it was a very mysterious disappearance, John.
I guess it was.
Are you going to tell me exactly how you got that wound?
No. Except that it didn't have anything to do with my love life.
That's a great relief. John, I still think some nice, wholesome girl...
Oh, Mother, I wouldn't inflict my disposition on the worst woman in the world.
Nonsense.
No, it's a fact. I couldn't settle down to it. I'd be a decent husband. You can't have nerves like mine so that every time you... Oh, no. When I've got the urge, I've got to take off. If I didn't, I'd go crazy.
Did the daylight raids over Jim's?
Oh, never, never. I never think of it anymore. It's just that I'm...
Well, that arm won't do your nerves any good.
Oh, yes, it will. It's good medicine. I've been on the verge of a blow-up for months. I've got it out of my system now, and I'm making the arm to show for it.
Is it hurting you?
No, not too much. 2 days old now.
What are you going to tell your father?
The same thing I told you.
I can imagine him being satisfied with that.
That's one reason I woke you up, Mother. Will you fix up one of those nice little white ones that he can believe?
I see. All right. What was your other reason for waking me?
Oh, you're the worrying type, you know, and I was afraid you mightn't be sleeping too well.
What is it?
Smart, aren't you?
Talk to. What is it?
Look, you won't be frightened at anything mysterious.
John, what is it?
Now, don't look at me like that, or I'll go right now.
All right. What is it you want to tell me?
That's more like it. Have you a place where you could stow away a sealed letter for me?
Sealed letter?
That's right. It's important. Nobody must get his hands on it.
That's a strange request, John.
I know, it sounds like old-time melodrama, doesn't it? All very simple, though, really.
Of course, dear. I'll hide your letter for you.
Good. Here it is.
John, there's blood on the envelope.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mother. I didn't notice it before. The arm must have bled on it.
John, are you sure you shouldn't tell me everything?
Quite sure.
Very well. I'll take care of it.
Great. And Mom?
Yes, John?
If I should pull another disappearance act for 2 days without first letting you know, open that envelope. It'll tell you what to do.
You hear, dear? Time to get up, do you understand?
Oh. Hello, Mommy. Sliver thin.
Are you awake now?
Sure I am. White as white. Come on, Mom. Sit on the edge of the bed and talk to me.
Now, the water's drawn for your bath now. It'll be cold if you don't hurry.
That's awfully sweet of you, dear, to think of that.
Well, don't waste my effort then by lying there like a spoiled child.
Will you come and talk to me in the bathroom then?
If you like, Eve.
Of course I like.
Well, jump out of bed then.
There. Get my pajama top over my head. There.
Yeah, don't stand there like a nymph. Go get into your tub.
You're the most delightful mixture of conflicting ideas.
Now, what do you mean by that, young lady?
Come on in the bathroom instead, and I'll tell you.
Now, I don't know what Judith and your father would say.
Oh, bother Judith. She's impossible.
Now, hush, dear. You mustn't say that.
As for Dad, he only sees what he wants to see.
No, dear. You know, down deep somewhere, there's a terrible fear for you young folk. You live so dangerously. Sometimes I wonder if I shouldn't take your father's attitude and try to put a check on your madness.
Oh, Mom, you couldn't.
No. And yet I know as well as anything in the world. If any of you do come to grief, I'll never stop blaming myself for not having put a check on you.
That's just it. You will blame yourself, and you're not at all at fault. Dad will blame us, and he's every bit at fault. Come in! Oh, is that you, Judith?
Why, the very idea. Mother, aren't you ashamed to sit there and watch Eve bathe?
No, dear.
Come on, Judith. Drag in a chair and make yourself comfortable.
I will not.
No wonder you're soured on the world, Judith. Must be a pretty terrible world through your eyes.
What do you think Father would say?
Probably the same thing you are, seeing you're an exact replica of him.
Now, girls.
I can't understand why you insist on pampering Eve, Mother. Letting her sleep in, drawing a tub for her, and then sitting and washing her back until all hours.
Now, Judith.
Every time you come into this room, I feel as though I'd bitten into a lemon.
What was it you wanted, Judith?
Well, I just wondered if you knew what had become of John.
Yes. He's home, Judith.
What on earth time did he come in? I hope he hasn't gotten himself into trouble.
Why worry about John? He's capable of taking care of himself.
Yes. He's capable of almost anything.
Well, Judith, if it will ease your mind any, John's quite all right.
Well, why on earth hasn't he told us what he's up to? Father's been worried to death the last 2 days.
Oh, no, I'm quite certain that your father's been much too occupied with business to be very greatly perturbed.
Well, anyway, what did he say?
But Judith, anything that he said to me was for my ears only.
Oh, very well, if you want to make a mystery of it.
No, dear, there's no mystery. It's just that it doesn't appeal to me as being your affair.
I suppose Eve had no trouble getting it out of you.
Judith, you should be ashamed of yourself. I didn't even know he was home.
Now, girls, never mind.
What sort of business would John have away from home 2 days?
Well, you'll have to ask him that, Judith. I'm sure I don't know.
Strange. John should have a mysterious business trip at midnight.
For shame, Judith.
What are you intimating?
Well, anyone as secretive as John must have some reason for it.
Of course he has. He doesn't want his private affairs to become common property.
Well, his family has a right to know.
And why has he?
For our common protection. If he does something that will reflect badly on the family, then we have a right to prevent him from doing it.
No, dear. Each of us has a right to a secret personal life. No family has a right to take that from an individual.
But supposing John's mixed up with a girl.
Now, what put such an idea into your head?
And just supposing he is.
Well, he has no right to. This family's involved.
Now, I think you're doing John a great injustice, Judith. I think we can depend upon John to protect our interests no matter what he does.
Anyone reckless enough to discard convention will be careless with his family's honor.
Oh, you give me the willies, Peter. Mother, hand me one of those big woolly towels.
Pull the plug, dear.
What this family needs is a good scandal anyway, to pep it up.
Eve.
Well, it does.
No, Eve. I don't think that notoriety would help us any.
Wipe my back, please, Mom. Well, anyway, I'm for John, whatever he's doing.
Excuse me, Roddy.
Well, gee whiz, look out, will you?
I'm terribly sorry.
Well, you tramp over here, and you're size 11s, and you're in the business. That's why where the seeds are planted.
Young man, they're not size 11s. They're... Did you say a business?
Well, sure. I heard of a guy that made $40 in 1 month selling flowers to the neighbors and 50 cents a bunch.
That's it. I wondered why it was lately that all the doors in this house started banging at sunrise.
That's me going to work. And this little plot is mine to do whatever I want with. The new gardener gave me the idea.
Oh, he did.
How much ground are you taking care of around here?
Well, it's about a quarter of an acre. Have you talked to the new gardener? He's a pretty bright guy.
Yes, he seems bright. This little patch will be beautiful when the flowers come up, won't it, Roddy?
Oh, sure. He's going to let me take care of the whole thing alone. Say, what are you doing up so early on Sunday morning?
Oh, I just want a good breath of fresh air. I'm going to walk down and sit on the breakwater for a while. Yell when breakfast is ready, will you?
Oh, sure. Now I'm woozy with hunger myself. The only way I keep from fainting is thinking about all that dough I'm going to make in September.
Hello, Eden. What are you doing down here on the breakwater?
Sunning myself. Here, give me a hand. I'll pull you up.
All right.
Come on.
There.
Yeah. Well, what'd you come down for?
I love nature. Remember, Eden? Uh-huh. I like the play of light and shadow on the water. I study the gulls wheeling in the clear sea air.
Mm-hmm.
Was it your love of nature that got you up so early?
I haven't been in bed at all.
You'd better not let Dad find it out.
Oh, it's okay. I mussed up my bed and threw some clothes around. It was just getting dawn when I came in. It looked so pretty, I went in and changed and came down here. Been sitting there ever since.
Been smoking plenty of cigarettes, too.
How'd you know?
Well, you just look at all those stubs down the sand.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Have a good time?
I guess so.
Eden, do you really like Coral Martin better than the girls in the college gang?
Well, she's more serious than our bunch.
Well, why shouldn't she be? She's been married once already.
Yeah, that makes a lot of difference, all right, when a girl's been married.
Why does it, Eden? Huh? Why?
Well, girls act a whole lot different when they've been married. Gee.
I don't see why they should.
Oh, well, you wouldn't even understand it if I told you, I don't think.
Maybe I wouldn't, but I'd like to try. How did Coral act different? Eden.
Well, she made me feel like an awful fool.
Why?
Well, I guess it was because she knows so much more than I do. Anyhow, that's how I felt.
Knows more than you? You admit a girl knows more than you do?
Well, you'd know what I meant if you'd been there. Which I felt like a half-baked kid.
You did. Well, I hope you didn't let on to her.
I didn't have to. She already knew it.
Oh.
You know, Eve, things are a lot more complicated than we thought they were when we were just playing around at country club dances.
Complicated how?
Well, I can't exactly explain it, but you feel mixed up. You'll have to find out for yourself, I guess.
It sounds fascinating. I'd like to.
Hey, you better not. You shouldn't go out with older men.
But you went out with Coral Martin.
Well, we didn't go out any place. I was just at her house.
Oh.
Yeah, but I didn't stay. I left in about an hour.
You left?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I wanted to get away by myself and sort of mull it over before... Well, before I got into anything serious.
Oh, goodness sake. Well, where were you all the rest of the night?
Driving around. Driving around all over the darn countryside. Thinking. That's the reason I came down here, too.
Are you going to see Coral Martin again?
I don't know yet. I don't know if she didn't give me a chance after last night.
That's Roddy.
Hmm.
Coming! Breakfast! Coming, Roddy!
You want to go up to breakfast now?
Yeah, sure. Hey, John's back.
Yeah, I know. Mom told me.
Uh-huh. I saw his car in the garage when I put the coupe away.
Well, okay. Come on, throw that beautiful body down. I'll try to catch it.
Here I am. Whoa!
No. Now, let's see here. That makes you one up on me on the sixth, Eden.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I see you haven't been neglecting your golf, son.
Oh, I get in three or four rounds a week. You're not so bad yourself, Dad. We ought to get together often.
We should at that. Well, go ahead now and tee off. See what you can do on this short hole.
Okay. She's three par, but boy, she's tricky as a deuce. I made it a couple of times, though.
Four is my best on this hole. Looks good. Nice one, right on the green.
Hey, my eye seems to be all right. Well, go ahead, Dad.
All right. Yeah, we'll see what I can do.
Huh? Good enough, Dad. That's the old eye.
It's the first time I ever remember of dropping on in one. You know, habits are queer things, Eden.
Yeah, they sure are. Come on, let's get going.
Easy to make and hard to break. Now, take the habit of going to bed.
Oh, come on now, Dad. You're not going to start on that, are you? This is too swell a day for that.
No, no, son. I had no intentions of starting anything.
I'm glad of that.
But you know, Eden, you know, I've never talked to you as man to man.
About what?
Well, nothing in particular. Just life in general.
Hey, we better step on it. That foursome behind is waiting to tee off.
All right.
Hey, gosh, Dad, look there. Just a foot putt and you'll have a birdie. Go ahead now, take it.
By George. Yes, here. Give me my putter,
son. Yeah, here. I take it easy, Dad.
I made it. I made it, a birdie. Yeah, the best I ever got before was a four.
Oh, boy. Let's see what I can do. I got a 15-foot putt. Oh, boy, I'll be lucky to par this one. Oh, nuts, I overshot the
hole. Oh, too bad. It was dead in line, too.
Yeah. Well, that gives me a par three. That puts us even up on the seventh. Yeah. Hey, what was that you were saying about life in general?
Well, it's like this, Eden. Now, it seems to me that every man should take his son out at some time and tell him a few things.
Oh, sure.
Now, a boy your age should begin to understand the relationships that exist between people. You know, they should begin to figure out just how they're going to fit the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, Eden, you've learned a lot from your friends and from chance conversations and experiences of others, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Well, now, that information, that's liable to be pretty badly jumbled in a young fellow's mind.
Oh, I don't know, Dad. I think I've got the situation pretty well lined up. Just what was it you thought I needed instructions about?
Well, I thought it was about time that you understood about life.
Understood about life?
Yes.
Well, what about it?
Why, the relationship between people. About the dangers that a young fellow is liable to fall into where women are concerned.
Women?
Why, Eden, what are you laughing at?
Oh, Dad, you're way behind. Why in the world didn't you start in with this about 10 years ago? Oh, gee, Dad. Hey, come on, let's not hold up the game anymore. Your first shot.
You have just heard the fourth episode of The Bennetts, 1946, written and produced under the direction of Carlton E. Morse. The fifth episode, entitled John Asks for a Machine Gun, will be presented next week at this same hour. To refresh your memory, tonight's cast included Dean Jagger as George Bennett, Ann Revere as Ellen Bennett, William Holden was John, Nan Gray played Judith, Mary Anderson was Eve, Jack Edwards Jr. was Eden, Tommy Cook as Roddy Bennett. Music was arranged and directed by Opie Cates. This is Frank Martin speaking.